Hi, I'm Tim Marshall. Welcome to the R&B Showcase. We have some special guests today. We're here to honor the Delphonics. And joining me in the studio, we'll let you introduce yourself, is Kyle Mack.
Hey, what's going on? It's Kyle Mack.
We've got Jam and Jeff Wyland. What's happening, Jeff?
Good afternoon. Pleasure to be here.
We got a room full of co-hosts. We got the legendary Mr. Tommy McCarthy from Philadelphia Radio. Tommy.
Great to be here to help to rock the house with the Delphonics.
And we've also got on the line joining us from Detroit is the founder of the R&B Music Hall of Fame, where Will Hart and the Delphonics were inducted, Lamont Showboat Robinson. How you doing, Lamont?
Man, great to be here. Great to be here.
Great to have you as part of the show. And please join us as we welcome from one of the greatest groups in American popular music history, the Grammy Award-winning Delphonics. There ain't nothing like the real thing, because we got an original member joining us in the studio. Let's all give a rousing round of applause for the legendary Mr. Will Hart.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Yes, thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Will, I got to tell you, brother, it is such an honor to have you here in the studio joining us here today. I mean, we go back a little ways, but yes. I mean, all of us grew up with this great music, especially with all this these Philadelphia personalities joining us here, and Lamont from Detroit, of course. And we want to just sit back and have a conversation. We want to honor you today, honor your group, the Delphonics. I mean, you brought so many great memories to us growing up over the years.
Absolutely.
I also want to thank you for being, a lot of folks don't know, but Will's is such a great humanitarian. He helped us out with our Hold On Education Foundation, came out to shows. Anytime I've called Will, he's just been there, just came out to support, and we really appreciate him. Want to let you know that right off the bat.
I appreciate that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Always, we go back a long way, Tim.
You know
that.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that you do is very positive, mm-hmm. So I'm involved with positive people.
There's nothing like that, man. That's what I'm all about.
Come on.
Great. Glad to have you with us.
And, yes, sir.
So we're going to talk a little bit. So talking about that, why don't we just let you just take us back? Because so much has been written about the Delphonics. You know, you had the Unsung TV series on television. But I want to hear from you about the formation of this group. How did the Delphonics come together?
Well, you know, we're from West Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was 1966, 65. We were just another doo-wop group out, you know, on the corners of Philadelphia, and we ran into a guy named Stan Watson.
Okay.
And he introduced us, long story short, to Tom Bell. And Tommy used to work for, a record company, not a record company, but a record label called Cameo Parkway. And so we met him and kind of like, you know, got introduced to him. He kind of introduced us to how to actually record professionally, you know, because we didn't know anything about the studio. And Tommy, it was his beginning also, but he had something to work with, and he was driving us to, you know, just actually showing us how to be professional recorders, you know, because he had the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened was when we met Tom, you know, I think it was Tommy and Williams came up with a song called He Don't Really Love You.
Okay.
And Tommy just worked on the music, put everything together, you know. And, you know, Tommy was like a taskmaster, really, because he knew what he was doing, and mm-hmm. we didn't. But, you know, we learned a lot from Tommy, because he was always, you know, get there at 9 o'clock, we're going to rehearse until 11, and we're going to start recording around 1, you know. And so, you know, it was an experience for us because we didn't know anything about the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And Tommy kind of led us into the professional side of recording, you know.
Okay.
And you know, we had some success, a lot of success with mm-hmm. Tom Bell.
Mm-hmm.
William Hart, Tommy Bell, they were the writers for the group.
Mm-hmm.
And had plenty of, beautiful melodies, beautiful music. And William was an expert at lyrics,
mm-hmm.
you know, as the world can see. You know, I think he was one of the best. And they came up with we came up with La La Means I Love You. That was our third release.
Okay.
We came up with La La Means I Love You. And that was like hitting the lottery for the Delphonics, because that took us all around the world as far as our music was concerned, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we really started, working every day if we wanted to. Everywhere if we wanted to. We work with all the artists that I can think of. I can't think of anybody who we haven't worked with, you mm-hmm. know, at one point. And it was just a great, great experience working with a pro like Tommy, mm-hmm. because he taught us so much, you know. We were like in the studio, and you know, you really have to love being in the studio mm-hmm. to really stay in there after you record. Mm-hmm. And so Tommy kind of like took me under his wing in that aspect, because I wanted to be there, you know. So he didn't hold back anything, you know. He let me work on the mixing, you know. He let me work on the percussions and whatever I could do, you know. And so that was our start in the business, as far as getting our popularity around the world. You know, Tom Bell was very instrumental in that. William Hart, mm-hmm. Randy Kane, mm-hmm. and myself, mm-hmm. you know, Stan Watson, can't leave him out because mm-hmm. he introduced us. And so we were blessed with many records, as you know. And that is a blessing, because there's so many talented artists in our business. I think it's just from the grace of God, really, whether you're going to be successful, because there's so many good records, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of being in the right place at the right time. And take, for example, La La Means I Love You was a record that we didn't have to really, you know, beg anybody to play that. That was like, all the DJs loved that. So it was like a blessing, you know. And that's what took us to where we're at right now, you know, as far as having music that everybody in the world, they know about the Delphonics, you know, and they know about our music, you know. So we're very thankful for that.
Now, you talked about the studios that you worked out of. What are some of the studios you worked in? Was it Cameo Parkway at first? Or?
No. Let me see. We worked, I think it was Cameo okay. Parkway for mm-hmm. He Don't Really Love You.
Okay.
That was our first recording. But then we moved to Sigma Sound after okay. everything after that was Sigma Sound. Mm-hmm. And Joe Tosh. Mm-hmm. Worked in New York, Sigma Sound. They had a studio there.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that.
A studio in New mm-hmm. York. And we mm-hmm. had on Vine Street there.
Virtue.
Yeah. Oh yeah, okay. We did work. Mm-hmm. We did some stuff in Virtue. Right. That was before Tommy. That was and I guess it wasn't before Tommy, but we did record in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a couple of things in Virtue.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just let me see. That was Sigma Sound. Then in California, we worked at the record plant.
Mm-hmm.
Several studios in California. We did mixing and stuff in San Francisco. It was, you know, it was a great experience, you know. And right now, you know, I have my home studio,
okay,
so to speak, you know. Mm-hmm. And what I can do is, you know, just lay down basic stuff, and then I'll take it to somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get it, you know, really finished and mixed and everything, mm-hmm. you know. But we've been, you know, very involved with a whole lot of studios.
Talk about your inspiration. You talk about your studios and songwriting. What is some of your inspiration? Because you wrote that epic masterpiece. You know, Will Hart wrote some great music. Talk about some of the music you wrote for the Delphonics.
Well, it was funny. You know, it wasn't really funny, but when
Hey Love, you know,
yeah, Hey Love. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tommy left us in 1973 or 1972.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you know, we were still recording in the studio, but I had enough knowledge. And I guess being smart enough to keep things going mm-hmm. the way that they were going successfully, using the same studio, using the same musicians. I was thoroughly taught by Tommy about what mm-hmm. to do, you know. Mm-hmm. And really, it's just using professional people mm-hmm. and, you know, and what you can do, you do, and what other people can do, you let them do, mm-hmm. you know. And so we had many, many records after Tommy mm-hmm. left. That was successful,
mm-hmm.
and Hey Love was one of them.
Okay,
right.
And you know, did several. Did a song called 17 in Love mm-hmm. that was successful.
Mm-hmm.
It was you know, it's been an experience, you know, knowing that what you do is something that the world will appreciate. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, you want to be humble. I am humble. Mm-hmm. I'm very humble. I know that through the grace of God, everything's happened, mm-hmm. you know. So I'm very thankful, man. Just very thankful.
You talked about these musicians. Is that the same MFSB musicians from Philadelphia?
Same
like musicians. Earl Young and all the same?
Yes. Yeah. These guys don't get enough credit.
Right.
Tell you.
Yeah.
Earl Young.
Earl Young is of the Tramps. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We have Norman Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Ronnie Baker.
Ronnie Baker. Mm-hmm. Come on, man. Ronnie Baker.
Mm-hmm.
Vince Montana, too.
Carl Chambers. Right.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Carl Chambers and his brother.
Roland
Chambers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But these guys, man, they were like the foundation for our success. Because when we had sessions, you know, you could teach them the song, but then they put themselves into the song.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
They were like the creators of what they did, you know. Mm-hmm. And so they really don't get enough credit.
They're comparable to the Funk Brothers at Motown.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly. I was just going to say that because, you know, the Funk Brothers never got their credit just like the guys in Philadelphia did.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And now finally, after all these years, they're all finally getting their credit in Philly.
Would you mind describing what the recording process was like over at Philly International or... Because I know that, as we described, the Funk Brothers, and back in the early days at Motown, they would oftentimes record with the artists in the room, which is something that is kind of unheard of. Was that something that you guys did?
We did that also. Yeah. We did that also. What we did was, you come in, you have the song that you want to present to the rhythm, and you go over that. Maybe you rehearse maybe 4 or 5 hours. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Just making sure they know the music,
right.
And they put themselves into the music. So that was the process. We rehearsed, they learned the music, and then we recorded the rhythm.
So the musicians would be playing live as you guys are singing as well?
No. We would record the rhythm first.
Okay.
And then we would record the vocals on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would record the arrangements.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's say like either like La La or Hey Love. How much time would be spent on the recording process between start and finish? How long would an actual song take to record and finish?
I would have to say it would probably take 3 to 4 days.
Really?
To really do it. On La La Means I Love You, what we did was Tommy did the arrangement and the musicians learned the music.
Mm-hmm.
But we went into the studio and we did that in like one take. Strings, horns, and everything, you know.
Right.
But we rehearsed well, you know. And that was the one song that we did that on, La La Means I Love You. We were at Sigma Sound Studios.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it live with the horns and strings and the band, you know, and we're singing. So we did, boom, one take.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it was a beautiful thing. But we did rehearse.
Right.
To make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the one song that we actually... That was the process of that song, you know. We just did it live, you know.
Wow. How important was like the singing, like doing the rehearsals and everything, like rehearsing and then doing the singing part?
That was very important, you know. And Tommy really learned, taught us kind of like that rehearsing is the key to all success, really, because that's why you have that time. You have that time to prepare so you can make yourself, you're never going to be perfect, but so very close, you know, to what you're trying to do. So Tommy would get us at the piano, and this is your note, you know. We could sing, but, here's your note, and make sure you had it. Here go your note, Randy, make sure you had it, you know. Weigh them the same thing. So we, you know, he was like our teacher as far as what to do, you know. It was very important to rehearse. And he put us on the right track with that piano for rehearsing, you know.
Right.
So that was the process.
And to have Tom Bell and Joe Tarsia in the studio with you, come on. Mm-hmm. I mean, how much better in Philadelphia could it be to have those two gentlemen working with you?
That's the key, I think, to success. The better the knowledge that you have about what you're trying to do. Now, Joe Tarsia was an expert. He was an expert. Everybody knows that. You know, he knew his craft. And Tommy Bell knew his craft. So then we got to the point where we knew our craft. So once you have these elements together, everybody knowing what to do, then you use the best musicians in Philly.
Right.
You know, you don't go and, you know, just use anybody. You use the best. When you use the best, you usually get the best, you know. So this was our rule. You know, we just use the best.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we continue to do today with recording, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a, what's his name? He's an engineer. What's his name? See, this it just slipped my mind right now.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what happens when you get about 75.
God bless you. Things, God bless you, Will. Things, God bless you.
Yeah, things can go away. But Greg, his name is Greg mm-hmm. Craig. Mm-hmm. White.
Oh, Craig White.
Oh, Craig White. Yes.
You know Craig
yes.
White very,
very well.
Well.
Yes.
Craig White is the uncle of my best friend, and he actually has mixed a couple of my live performances mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah. Come on. He's an expert. That?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's
and his expert. Studio, the studio yeah. at his house is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So we've been working together for years. Mm-hmm. We had projects back in the late 70s together, you mm-hmm. know, you know. So I'm using the best.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the best will do my work, I'm right. going to use the best. So Craig is one of the great what do you call him?
Engineers,
yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Engineers.
Why did I know you were going to say mm-hmm. his name?
Mm-hmm.
yes.
Big way.
Yes. You want to go to the phones? Lamont, you still on the line there?
Yes, sir.
Oh yeah. Any questions for Will Hart in the studio here?
No, I just like to thank him for all the music they have did over the last, 50 years?
50 years, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, you know, one thing about the Delphonics, they didn't sound like nobody else.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
You know, yes. That was one of the things. That was one of the things back then, you know, when you heard somebody on the radio, right. Oh, that's mm-hmm. the Delphonic, what the Temptation.
Mm-hmm.
And they have inspired a lot of groups.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why we inducted them in the second class, because mm-hmm. Such a great group, and I look forward to seeing them mm-hmm. one day going appreciate into the that. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because mm-hmm. they definitely deserve it.
Absolutely.
I can't understand why we're not there yet, mm-hmm. but you know, I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just can't figure it out, because we have achieved all the things that you need to achieve to go in there. I just mm-hmm. can't understand mm-hmm. why we're not there, but
mm-hmm.
it's you know, we have time.
It'll happen as long as there's time in front of you.
Okay.
Right.
I'm pushing for it, and the thing about it is that there's no more for you guys to do. You did it all. You, mm-hmm. know, you guys got yeah. Grammys. Your music has stood the test of time.
Yes.
And that's the key that I tell a lot of people today. You know, will this record play 50 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. You know, and the music crossed. You know, right. you guys are huge over in Europe, you mm-hmm. know, all over the world. Mm-hmm. So
yes, yes.
my hat goes off to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that. Right. Thank you.
Oh, well, I wanted to ask you a question, because to keep a unit going for so long, it's not all sunshine and rainbows. I mean, you know, Randy Kane, he passed away, and you guys had to keep on going with Major Harris. What was the temperature of the room? What was the thought process when something traumatic such as that happens?
Well, the only thing I can say is when something happens to you and you have a unit, then, you know, it's always like somebody else that can do what that person did, and hopefully there is, you know, you hope you can find that person. And but the atmosphere when someone, you know, that is like far as the beginning of your career and has participated in your success, when they fall out the room, you know, it's always it's a tragic thing, you know. And what happened with Randy was Randy had gotten ill.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had to drop out because of that. And just so happened that Major was with our record label.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just got together with him, and he fit like a glove, you know.
Yeah.
So it was a blessing, you know. And he actually was a great help to the Delphonics, because what he did was he didn't try to emulate himself in that situation. He knew what we needed,
right?
And he emulated that, you know. And so I appreciated that, because Major was multi-talented,
right? Right.
And he could sound like a whole lot of people, and a great artist, really.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something about Major Harris. But when something like that happens, you know, you really have to put your trust in the creator, because of the fact that he creates everything, and hopefully he'll make you keep going forward in your efforts. You know, that's what I depend on that, you know.
Right,
I know
right.
that everything happens for a reason, and there's only one person in control, and that's the creator.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Absolutely.
So then if you need something, mm-hmm. that's the best person to go to, you know.
And
I
will say this. One thing about the Delphonics, and that's a great question that you asked, is that they sound never changed even to today. That sound is still there. That's the key to when somebody's being replaced. That's just like my father-in-law, David Ruffin. You know, when they brought in Dennis and then they brought in Ollie, that sound still stayed the same thing. For the Delphonics, and that's the test of a group as well.
I'm glad Lamont mentioned the sound, because I wanted to ask, was it a conscious decision to come up with the sound of the group when it came to the different types of tones to voices? Because you guys on record, it's easy to forget that there's only three of you.
Yeah.
The harmonies are so thick powerful that you can listen to it and think that there's like four or five guys on the record. And there's only three of you.
Well, we were concentrating when we started out. We didn't want to sound like nobody else. We wanted to create our own niche, you know. And this is something that we've done, you know. And Wim, myself, and Randy, and also Major, he recorded with us. We were just constantly trying to keep whatever we had that got us famous to keep it that way. You know, we weren't trying to venture out and sound like something else.
You know?
So this is something that, you know, that I think is a great lesson to people. If you have something that is unique and you're a recording artist, you don't want to walk away from that, you know. I know a lot of recording artists who have had I ain't going to name them names, but they had a great career, a great sound, and then let something else come in and influence them. Then they move off into that and lose what they had.
Yeah.
Well, that was never our dream. We always wanted to be different. We loved the Glass Knight and the Pips for their emotion and what they did. But we didn't want to be like them. We wanted to be as big as them, but different. But that was a good example for us to look at, you know. Little African Imperials. Come on. You know, so we didn't want to emulate them, but we love what they were doing. So we said, we're going to do something a little different. So this is what we stayed with, and it worked. Thank God.
When you talk about the uniqueness of the Delphonics, not only in the harmony and the sound, but the choreography, you have very unique choreography. Tell us about that choreography. Who's responsible for it?
Well, that was my part, you know, because that's something that I love to do. And rehearsing the band, I used to rehearse the band, and you know, that was like my niche, you know. I didn't have that high tenor voice, so, but like my brother was fantastic with his vocals, you know. And so I said, well, I have to help this thing, you know. So my help was creating choreography, the dress, you know, and you know, so that was my part, kind of like, you know.
But I've never seen, nobody has choreography like you, though. No. I mean, like I said, it's very unique. Isn't it very unique, you know?
So I got that from...
You got that.
I got that from Gladys Knight and the Pips, really, because I saw how Bubba moved. But he was so different.
Right.
I didn't want to be like him.
Right.
I said, I want to be different, too. So that's how I created, you know, what I was doing, you know? So
those videos are still out there. You get to see them every once in a while. They'll pop up on the internet, you know, you guys. Especially like off the old High Lit show.
There was
a couple of great videos of you guys performing on those shows and others too. Yes, Soul Train, stuff like that.
You're right. Sometimes I look at on the internet, they have some stuff come up from Soul Train. Songs that I said, man, I can't even believe we're moving like that.
It was good.
It was
really good, you know. And even today, with you know your performances today, I still see that choreography. You know, there aren't many groups that are still dancing today either. You know, but you're still doing it. You know, it's a great thing. You put on an excellent show with your group today.
Thank you, as well as
being one of the authentic voices. Jeff has got all those albums. Where's some of the albums you have, Jeff? He's got a whole bunch of them over there. Of course, you know, I have the original.
My absolute favorite right here.
Live and kicking.
Remember that.
This right here is one of the best. I think that you guys did together as a group right here.
Right. We, that was an album that we did. I think that was after Tommy left.
Yeah, that was later.
Stan Watson and Norman Harris worked with you guys a lot on this, didn't he?
Yeah.
Right. Well, Norman Harris, you know, he wrote a couple songs. And he was happy enough. I mean, he was gracious enough to let me produce these songs.
Okay.
Because I just had the knowledge of what we were doing. Mm-hmm. So we didn't walk out of that. So Tommy wasn't on that album right there, I don't think so.
That was later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was later.
Well, in later years, you all took leads too.
That's a fact.
Lead parts, yeah. you know.
Tommy encouraged me when we first started out. You know, man, you're going to sing. You're going to sing Ain't That Peculiar, because he wanted to do that arrangement.
Yeah.
I said, man, I was sweating. I said, oh, man. I really never had the desire to be a lead singer. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But you
won the Grammy for it, didn't you?
Come on.
Didn't I blow your mind this time as you starting the song off,
come
right?
On,
okay.
On. You see how God works?
That's wonderful. Man.
I want to know, where do I get a suit like this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do they still make this?
Yeah, they still
Bobby Kras Brothers down on South Street, right?
I bet you.
I bet it was Benny Kras.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, because we did just from out of there.
Yeah. 937 South.
That's right.
Store of the Stars.
Even the album tracks, you know, I love like Lover's Concerto. You have on here and the Alfie, of course, which was a Burt Bacharach tune,
right?
But the magnificent job William does with that, and you guys at
Delphonics,
just unbelievable. You know, gotta be one of the greatest voices of all time, really, truthfully.
Yeah,
let's keep it real.
That's
you
the
know,
truth.
That
that's
voice is and nobody sounds like William Hart either.
Nobody sounds like William Hart,
he has his own sound,
very unique,
distinct,
yes,
you know,
clear,
you know.
Yeah.
So,
and what we used to do with who we emulated kind of like was Little Anthony, because we loved his diction, you know, the way that he pronounced things, you know. So Wim loved that, but he didn't want to be like that, but he wanted to, have the same type of effect, you know.
Right.
So that was kind of like who we looked at as far as the vocals were concerned, you know. But we didn't want to be like anybody. So we wanted to get our own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's what happened with us, you know. And that's, I'm keeping it in that same mode, you know, far as, you know, the way that we perform, the way that we studio work, or whatever songs we write, I'm just going to continue to do it. I don't know any other way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what is it like to still be able to do this? Like your group, you still perform regularly.
Right.
And so, it must be a really blessed feeling to continue to be able to perform and have people flock to your shows.
You're right. You're right. It is a blessing, you know. I really can't explain it other than to say that we have not changed what made us successful as far as, you know, our performance was concerned. So we knew that, you know, we're successful here, we're going to stay here, you know. So this is just a matter of, you know, weathering the storm as far as, you know, these groups coming out. We have a lot of groups coming out now that maybe God used to work for me.
Right.
So they think that they can be the Delphonics, you know, and I mean, they, you know, they're performing out there.
What is your feeling on it?
I think, you know, it's like stealing, you know?
Yeah,
even,
exactly.
See,
it's not right.
No,
it's not
see,
right.
I don't see it. One thing about me, I might do a lot of things, but I don't steal.
Right.
I don't
right.
take from others, because I know that when you do that, you're causing, you know, you're causing the sin, really, you know?
Right.
You shouldn't have to do that, you know?
You perfected the formula, and they tried to steal it from
come
you.
On,
you know,
come
something
on.
Like that.
So you take a group that's doing that. So say if I'm getting 10-5, or I'm getting 15, they'll do a show for maybe 1,500 or 2,000. So that makes the promoter say, "Well, damn, I can use the name and pay these guys just a little." So that's how they get over. You know,
there's no integrity to that.
No, right. None at all.
I don't encourage it. You know.
No.
And then if you're gonna do a tribute, do it the right way. Do it. Show some respect.
Well, see, that is the thing. People aren't even calling it tributes anymore.
Right. They're just trying to
just calling it flat out.
Which is not right.
Come on, man.
No, we don't support that at all.
Right.
You know, we don't support it.
No.
But
or the reviews, or the word review.
Or the word review. Yeah.
It just totally just takes away from what those guys done. And like you said, they undercut them for $15,000 or $2,000. Some of them called me, "Well, can we be inducted?" I said, "I only induct the people that were on the record. Are you on the record?"
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, did Randy Kane sing lead on any of the records that you guys did?
He sung a part on Let It Be Me.
Okay.
That was really the only thing that Randy sung on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But his voice, I tell you what, his voice was so unique that the sound, that he played a big role in our success, you know, even though he didn't do any lead. But the harmony that we made, you know, I could hear his voice real well, you know, and he kind of like, you know, had a, you know, had this effect in our harmony sound, you know.
Right.
So he was very important, even though he didn't sing much lead. And then plus, he was a pretty boy. You see? Randy Kane was a pretty, Randy Kane had.
Every group has one.
Yeah, you know, he had all the girls.
Yeah. You
know? And so the girls had to come to see the Delfinis.
Yeah.
So, you know, each one of us had our role, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So. And the same thing was with Major, too, as well.
Major was the coolest guy in the world.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One picture that I really, really like, and hope I'm not out of sync, is when you guys are standing up underneath the marquee at the Apollo Theater. I just think that's just one of the coolest pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's kind of like we made it, you know.
Yeah.
If you can make it at the Apollo, you can make it anywhere.
Come on.
You know, when I see that and you guys standing there and the names that you guys were on stage with, who was on the show with you guys,
right,
that just says it all.
Right. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Yeah, to work there or the Uptown here in Philadelphia. Uptown, I mean, those were the, that was the top of the pile with a big fat smile when you got in, got up on that billboard.
And when you worked at, the Apollo or the Uptown, and you work with every artist that really had any music out, you know.
Right.
That's why I say that we probably work with everybody. Otis Redding, we work with all these guys, you know.
Right.
Billy Stewart. Billy Stewart used to take us out with them Echoes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
load them out.
So, yeah. Will, I'm really good friends with your son, Jamal.
Right.
And he invited me to a show not too long ago of yours, and I was very, very pleased and enthusiastic and enthralled by your guys' performance. Mm-hmm. Who are the guys that you perform with now? Who's in the Delfonics today?
Well, Joe Branch, he's out of New York City.
Mm-hmm.
He has that beautiful tenor voice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was very good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Dr. Salaam Love, which he's no longer with us at this time.
Okay.
But it's Dr. Salaam Love and Joe Branch and myself. We just carry it on like that.
Awesome.
It's a great thing.
It's very good.
Well, hope that you keep on keeping on, Will, keeping this legacy alive and just keeping the sound of Delfinics. You know, we need this music.
Yes, we do.
Keep it going.
Absolutely.
Keep it going. We're so proud of you, man, for doing what you're doing and staying on it and keeping it going. I want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to be part of the R&B Showcase here today. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, brother. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you having me.
Thank you.
Great to have you here, Will. Great to have you.
We want to thank all of our special guests, Lamont Showboat Robinson from the R&B Hall of Fame, the founder. Thank you, Lamont.
Thank you.
And Kyle Mack, recording artist, and of course, radio host in his own right.
Yeah, thank you very much.
We'll talk about it later. You're in so many different places now. So many things happen. Another DJ, Jammin' Jeff Wyman, on many different stations in Philadelphia. And the legendary Mr. Tommy McCarthy. Always an honor to have you here with us, Tommy McCarthy.
Great to be in the house. Nothing but stars.
Yeah.
Nothing but stars.
And we want to thank, let's give Will a round of applause, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. All
right.
Top of Mr. Will Hart. Thank you, man.
This
is such an honor. Thanks for being part of the show.
Thank you, Tim.
Yep.
I'm Tim Marshall, and thank you for joining us for R&B Showcase.